to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 133 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Man, hope y'all had a great weekend. Hope all the fathers out there had a great Father's Day. What a weekend of racing. What two great weekends of racing. Last week, trucks at Texas was incredible. Cup race at MIS. And this weekend, both the truck and Xfinity Series delivered standalone without the cups. And next week, the road course at Sonoma, which everyone loves. And then it's off to Chicago, which we all know how awesome Chicago was last year. So we are setting up for an awesome month of great racing across all three series. Oh, and then it's just off to Daytona to kick off the summer portion of the season, which is always awesome. So I am pretty excited about the rest of the season, to say the least. This weekend, a little different than normal weekends over here. The wife had a little surgery on Thursday. Everything went well. She can only talk at a whisper, so I am soaking that in while it lasts. But all kidding aside, she is doing great. Spent the weekend home making sure she was well taken care of, and she's actually hanging out downstairs in the man cave with me while I do the show. So you won't hear from her, though, because, like I said, she can't talk. Before get things rolling, huge shout out and congratulations to the PETM podcast. Tonight is their 200th episode, so definitely make sure you check that out. And here's to you, boys. A little siren for the boys down in Atlanta, Georgia. Congrats, guys. Can't wait to check out the show tonight. Before I get to today's show, don't forget the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads Media has you covered from sports to entertainment, so go check out bigheadsmedia.com. Another awesome show lined up. I promise it will be shorter than last week's show. Last week's show almost to the two-hour mark, but man, that was so much fun last week. Tonight, from J-Ski, Scott Page is going to be on. I've got so many questions for him. I cannot wait to talk to him. Lots to talk about. I mean, like, some stuff happened this weekend at Iowa. Lots of drama, and I cannot wait to talk about that, from the trucks, the Xfinity Series, social media shout-outs, of course. Brian Newdorf will have the weather for Sonoma. Got your lucky dog in lap down picks, as always. And, of course, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get the show on the road with Scott. Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, he is one of the three behind the site every NASCAR fan loves, making his first appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast on behalf of J-Ski. Welcome to the show, Scott Page. Scott, what's up, man? How are you?
Not much, Brandon. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I know you texted me or emailed me way back after the site first went down and said, hey, you want to jump on the podcast? And I didn't want to jinx myself and said, I'll come on when we're back up. And we're finally back up.
And here we are, man. I've been very, very much looking forward to this. Before we get into everything, how was your weekend? You were out of town for a little bit. How was the vacation?
Yeah, finally took a vacation, even though I had a few months of free time here earlier in the year, but took my son up to see a friend in Colorado, spent a few days up there doing stuff I'm way too old for, and I'm feeling a little bit sore today from rock climbing and mountain biking and other things I'm not used to.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is not in my forte. If it's not sitting in a bar or playing golf,
I run a little bit, but rock climbing and mountain climbing are totally different sets of muscles. So
yeah,
was walking like an old man the last couple of days.
Well, that's awesome. Scott, tell everyone just a little bit about yourself, how you got into NASCAR, and before we get into all the good stuff.
Yeah, well, I'm getting to be one of the older guys. I'm 48, so I've been, you know, on the fringes of NASCAR for over 20 years now, kind of a NASCAR fan growing up. And then met my wife, or soon to be wife at the time we got married, and she actually grew up next door to Tony Roper.
Okay.
Just the time he was making his break into NASCAR. And, I did a little bit of website design on the side and got to know him, and, you know, websites were just coming along in the late '90s a lot. And, so I developed a side, website for him. He had his buddy Tony Raines, who was, you know, moving up to NASCAR. And so Tony Raines needed a website. And so I kind of got my foothold into NASCAR through a lot of driver and team websites. did Jamie McMurray's first website. Used to do one for the old Haas CNC team back before it was Stuart Haas. So kind of dabbled with a lot of people in the industry throughout the years. And probably late 90s, early 2000s, started a website that old people have to remember. It was called bgnracing.com. And it basically just exclusively focused on the Busch Series.
Okay.
We were kind of the Chaske of Busch Series stuff only, and just tried to get as much information out as we could about that. And that's kind of what helped me fall in to the deal with Jay. I've worked for him since December of 2005, actually.
Okay.
And at the time, his website, obviously, as you know, I think it still is, was kind of the go-to place. And when he started entertaining offers to take the site to the next level, basically a lot of the stipulations for buyouts was, hey, we're not going to give you a lot of money and take over this website and then have you get hit by a car the next day or drop dead from a heart attack. And so you need somebody to train to take over the site if something would happen to him. So I was kind of the designated survivor. Jay and I had kind of emailed back and forth, and he was looking for somebody new of my work with the BGN site. So I had, you know, we'd exchanged emails, but flew out one day, met him, he offered me the job, and I've been working on jayski.com for whatever that makes it now, 15, almost 15 years.
That's awesome. That's a cool story. Do you, you know, you've been following the sport a long time from a stats perspective and updating Jayski. Do you have a favorite driver? Do you get to go to many races? How's your actual interaction with the sport?
Well, less more so now than it used to be, just because the amount of time it takes to travel. It seems like there's always so much going on with the website. It's hard to lose a day traveling, get to the track, lose another day traveling back. I actually haven't been to a NASCAR race in probably, I'd have to look back, probably 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Now. And really, you know, it's kind of one of those things when you get around seeing how the sausage is made, I can't say I have a favorite driver. Probably because of the local connection. When he was racing, Carl Edwards was my guy.
Okay.
And my little short claim to fame with him too was when he first broke into NASCAR, I helped do some of the PR when he first was driving for Mittler Brothers, Mike Mittler. I did their website. They were obviously a shoestring operation as they were the whole time. And so I did a lot of PR for them when Carl was just breaking into the sport.
Wow, that's I love hearing backstories. Backstories are awesome. Yeah. That's so cool.
So it's kind of like I say, I've always kind of been on the fringe of a lot of different things. Nobody would ever know my name or recognize me,
right?
But,
right.
Which is kind of the Jayski way of operating in
sure.
some regards.
Sure. How did Amanda get hooked up into all that? And what's kind of like your three's day to day operations with the site?
Yeah, well, Amanda's, I should really know how long Amanda's worked for us, but it's been, it's probably been 6 or 7 years now. And we needed someone to focus on the truck series full time. And Amanda actually worked for me on the old BGN racing site some, and back in the early 2000s. And then she went off and did some NASCAR PR when Justin Lofton was working the truck series. She was his PR person,
okay.
And she did that for a while. And then when we were looking for somebody else, it was just kind of one of those things where I told Jay I'd worked with her in the past. I thought she'd work well, and she fit right in. So she's been with us for several years. But now as things have gone on the last couple of years, Jay's, I should know how old Jay is. He's in his mid-50s now, but he's kind of taken on more of a part-time role. You know, obviously he's been doing the website since 96.
Sure.
So he's kind of works behind the scenes now. He does some paint scheme works on the site, keeps the statistics pages up. And then I'm primarily the day-to-day. You know, if you see something posted on Jayski, 90% of the time I've taken care of it. And I also do Xfinity series primarily, although Amanda and I try to split that fairly well. And then she handles the truck series site all the
That's
associated
awesome.
With that. So, and then that, you know, fluctuates a little bit. While I was gone in Colorado, Amanda took over primary responsibility for all the site. And then Jay was there, if, you know, if she needed to step out for something. And so we pretty much just kind of loosely tag team things, make sure, you know, everybody's always on email and flagging stuff and retweeting and, you know, whatever you need to do.
Sure. So is it, you know, do you guys pay attention just to the stat? Do you guys get to take in and actually enjoy the racing that you're doing all the updates for?
You know, it's a strange thing in that I will feel like a lot of times I know every little thing that happened during a race, but then I'll see a replay and I'll have no recollection of it happening because I think I'm always taking in what's going on, trying to type it, Twitter, you know, answer questions, and realize a lot of times, even though I'm aware of what's happened, I didn't actually see the race.
You know, I somewhat can relate to that because most of the races, especially truck is, I love the truck series. That is,
oh yeah,
I will watch and make time to watch truck before Xfinity if I have to make a sacrifice and not watch one of those. But I definitely try to live tweet the races as much as possible. And, you know, doing that, it's like you're interacting with people on social media. I'm trying to jot down a note here or two for the show. And there are times where it's like, man, I just watched 500 miles, but I'm not really sure how many of those 500 miles I actually watched.
Exactly. Although I feel like I've typed a lot, and so I can tell people what happened, but then they'll say, well, did you see XYZ on the TV coverage? And I'll be, you know, completely missed it. No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm with you there, 100%. All right. So, you know, back in the day, now I'm 36, so date myself there and put it into a little bit of perspective. Back in the day, way before the podcast and all that, you know, I loved J-Ski because it was, you know, a quick reference tool for fantasy NASCAR. You know, back in the day when ESPN had fantasy NASCAR and my uncle ran a fantasy thing for 20 years, it was an awesome tool. And then with the start of the podcast and all that, you know, it became an awesome tool for, you know, printouts for, you know, the results and all that kind of stuff. So when J-Ski went away for a little bit, I was definitely lost. And so on behalf of all the listeners, thank you for coming back. But
well, I appreciate that. Hopefully we're going to have a full site back. We're still adding content even as I speak every day, but we've got the majority of it back up and running.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. So glad to have you guys back. Talk a little bit about the transition from, you know, independent sites, partnering up with ESPN, back to independent, the work to get the site back. Take us through that a little bit.
Well, it really just, I had no idea what to expect. It all ended up coming together in the long run. We had no real inkling that there was something up until January 28th when I got a call from my boss at the time. And when the first word she says is, I've got so-and-so here from the HR department, you know something is up.
Right, yeah.
And they basically say, you know, as of today, you are done. Now, we obviously had some speculation that something could be up with Bob Pockrass' contract not being renewed and Ricky Craven being let go. And, you know, obviously ESPN did not have a vested interest in motorsports.
Right.
And, you know, there's an ebb and flow with all of that. But so we were basically just assuming that we were done and the site was going to go away. And Jay actually had a contract that ran through the end of March. And so as that kind of started coming closer, ESPN was talking to him and kind of said, I think just informally at one point, hey, you know, if you're willing and want to take the site content back, we'd be willing to give you the rights to it back. And so that's kind of what started the wheels turning of, hey, we could actually relaunch this again and get to moving forward. And that went relatively smoothly. Obviously, anytime you get lawyers involved, things drag out a lot longer than they want to, which is why it took us until May to actually get live. But so we pretty quickly in February, late February, started looking at our options on how to bring the site back. And it was, you know, obviously our desire to try to stay as independent as we could, just because it gives us the ultimate flexibility. You're not necessarily answering to somebody else in the same way you are when ESPN's doing it. So we talked to a lot of people in the industry, and, you know, I think it's fairly public information now. We've not made it a secret that we've partnered with NASCAR.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's not that they own the site or anything. They're merely hosting it for us and serving advertising on it to cover their expense. And they have no editorial control over it. You know, they said, just keep doing what you've always been doing, because they realize that if the site is popular, they make the money from the advertising. And we keep just doing what we've done.
That's awesome. No, it's great to have you back. One of the funny things that, you know, you knew things weren't going to be the same when you couldn't just type jayski.com and it went to jayski.com and it went to like the ESPN thing. Like, it became so hard to find the PDFs to find. I mean, it was just it wasn't user friendly that we were all used to with just simple clicks on the homepage.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, at some point, it just they wanted it to fit in the ESPN box. And I understand why they did, because from their back end side, it's easier to serve ads. It's easier to check on technical issues and all if you're working in a uniform platform.
Sure.
But that wasn't what made Jayski popular.
No.
You know, it's the little smiley faces and bright yellow and tons of links and that kind of stuff, you know. And so that's what, you know, as we talked to everybody this spring about bringing the website back, I was like, you know, hey, I want as much yellow on this thing as I can. I want to flood people with link. I mean, we want it to go back to the way it used to be.
Well, then I definitely expect to see the blinking C9 border lights around Christmas time then.
That is on my to-do list. I think, where it says Jayski's Silly Season Site Now, the little logo. Let's see, Memorial Day weekend, I think we changed it out so the yellow Jayski was a little red and white and blue flag. So we're going to try to do some things on holidays and give a little bit of that character back that you come to expect. I mean, it's a serious subject in as much as sports are serious, but we certainly like to have a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
It needs to be laid back.
You mentioned, you know, you're partnered back, well, not back, but you're partnered up with NASCAR. Is there, you know, and like you said, you kind of want to keep it as independent running as possible. Is there long-term goals for you guys with the site to from advertising for yourselves? Or is there anything you'd like to see the site maybe grow and do that you were maybe limited in doing when you were under the ESPN tag?
Well, we've debated a few issues or a few things we'd like to do differently. Probably nothing I can talk about yet.
Sure.
Kind of obviously the first priority here has been trying to get as much of the old site as we could back. And I looked it up and I tweeted it a couple of weeks ago, something like 2,300 paint schemes pages. Well, obviously the paint schemes are a very popular part of the site. So we just hammered those out as much as we could to get them done. And once we get back our old race results and some of the other links that we're still missing, then it's probably, okay, now we're back to square one where we were. How
sure.
do we push forward from here? And I think we'll obviously be looking to input from people who are visiting the site and looking for, you know, because obviously people coming to the site is what continues to make it popular. And we want to try to kind of be an overall resource for NASCAR fans to find anything. And so if there's something we're not doing, we want to fill that void.
Well, I tell you, you know, you mentioned the paint schemes, and that's got to be, you know, one of the more popular hits on the website. But man, you know, paint schemes, you know, they change every week almost. That has to be one of the harder parts of the site to update and keep tabs on.
It is now, you know. Yeah, if you go back, and obviously Jay wasn't focusing on it as much back in the late 90s, but you go back and look at the 1997 paint schemes page, well, there's maybe 40 different links there, and rarely does a car have more than two different images because
right.
everybody ran the same one now. And this day and age, basically, with teams putting together a small associate deal here and there, I would be amazed, and I don't know what the answer is. Somebody could probably find out of how many, if any, cars are the same throughout the year. I mean, obviously, everybody runs schemes, but even Jimmy Johnson with Ally on the car all year, just on a regular weekend, is their car always the same? Or
yeah,
is there different
associates? It's definitely switching
and,
up. Yeah.
And so, yeah, so we just continue, you know, when in doubt, I add another picture. So we you can never have enough pictures of cars.
That's right.
The bigger, the better.
One of my also personal favorite parts of the site is the team and driver charts, just because that information is, you know, it's you can Google that, but, you know, you're going to get 100 different answers depending on, you know, what, you know, Wikipedia link it may take you to or whatever. You know, NASCAR.com doesn't put that stuff on there. But that is a awesome tool in terms of, you know, especially during like silly season, off season for the podcast. I actually, you know, do a silly season segment towards the off season. And that is quite the resource there. That's got to be hard to keep up with, too, eh?
Well, and again, because of the changing landscape of NASCAR the last few years or several years, it's become more because you have a lot of teams, especially smaller teams, with a different sponsor every week. And, you know, a lot of smaller teams may change crew chiefs. And so it's almost every day, at least we're in there updating something.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And I'll be honest, I haven't checked. Do you guys, or is the plan to add, if it's not there already, team and driver charts for Xfinity and truck, or is that back up there?
They are there. Yep. They're there now and should be complete, I think. We spend a lot of our time focusing on Cup because still most NASCAR fans, that's where they at. So Cup gets the most attention, but Xfinity, we also try to keep up a section on playoffs and the team driver chart and race results. But obviously, you know, those don't get the traffic that Cup does.
Sure. Let's sidetrack here a little bit. Let's talk a little racing. What's your take on 2019 so far? What have you liked? What have you not liked?
It has been, I want to say it's been an unusual year, but I can't exactly tell you why. You know, it's just, I think, Harvick struggles is probably, a big point right now. Truex has had a little trouble adjusting to his new ride, I believe. I don't think anybody's surprised by Kyle Busch doing what Kyle Busch does.
Nope.
But I think it's been a fairly equal season for most teams. Everybody's got their disappointments. I generally think the racing has been better with this package. There's been some dud races, but you know, again, I'm old enough that there's always been dud races.
Right.
And people that think that every race should be a photo finish are not living in reality.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because I had some friends up from the PETM podcast down in Atlanta. They came up to the Michigan race last weekend, and we kind of had kind of that aha moment that past weekend. Like, we're sitting there for the ARCA race with two cars on the lead lap, everyone at the track complaining. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. Isn't this what all the NASCAR fans and social media keep saying they want is old school NASCAR? Do you really only want two cars on the lead lap? Because I'll be honest, that wasn't that – I mean, granted, the last couple laps ended up being exciting, but for the most part, that race was a dud. And then you turn and look at the Michigan race, which typically has been a little boring. I hate to say that because it's my home track, but you know, I understand the criticism that MIS has taken over the years. And, you know, they had an awesome race with this package. And I'm not bought in and I'm not sold on it yet. I think there's definitely some changes they could make so the cars aren't so dialed down. But the last couple have been pretty good, and I'm very excited to see what we get at Chicago.
Yes, I am too. I think Chicago, you know, it's another one of those tracks that's been a little bit questionable in the entertainment value the last few years, a lot of times. And so I think the package could serve itself very well there. And obviously, we've got Sonoma coming up this weekend.
I can't wait.
and anymore, you know, road courses are just about as exciting as they get. They're the kind of the new short tracks. So I'm looking forward to this weekend's race, too.
I assume you obviously have read. Have you seen what was your take on the whole Johnny Sauter incident from this past weekend?
You know, I think NASCAR probably handled that as well as they could with the penalties today, as far as setting him out a race, but not, you know, making him ineligible for the playoffs. Obviously, it was over the line. I think Johnny probably knows it was over the line. I certainly understand the penalty, and I think the suspension is right. It is a little tricky if you do something in one race and to take his eligibility for the playoffs due to him winning, you know, in previous race. So they probably handled it as well as they could.
I think so too. You know, I am all for adding drama to the sport to help bring in eyes, ears, and all that. You know, and if those two wanted to go duke it out on pit road outside of the car with their helmets off, of course, you know, I'd have been all for that. But not, you know, using the car on the track with other, you know, that, you know, and that's emotion.
And
that's
caution.
Raw emotion, you know, which is what we love from the drivers. But, you know, like you said, I think NASCAR, like you said, did the right thing. You know, one race suspension, it's not going to hurt him. A little slap on the wrist, you know, might annoy the sponsors for a minute. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to impact things drastically.
Exactly. And that's probably all you can do. Yeah, yeah. Johnny knows he should have been more subtle about it. You know, he, that was a little bit blatant. They obviously had to do something about it. He could have waited till Gateway this weekend and accidentally, quote unquote,
right, dumped him into one of the right turns or something.
Exactly. So, you know, it's, and so there it is. It is what it is. And I, you know, I'm sure there'll be some people unhappy thinking he should have been yanked from the playoffs. That seems like an overreaction. But a suspension was certainly warranted in the case, I think.
Sure, sure. All right. One last thing. What is your take on all of the schedule changes that we've got for 2020 and the potential for changes in 2021?
Well, I'm excited. I mean, I'm one of those people that thinks the schedule has become stale. And it's time to shake it up. I hope they're able to go someplace different. You know, I'm actually from Missouri. Don't know that I'd make the race, but I would love to see Gateway get a cup race.
Sure.
It's, you know, they've had some questionable luck with crowds and all in their history, at least the last, well, since they've had racing back. But, you know, see Cup go to Road America Road America. Or somebody, trucks go back to Memphis. I think there's a lot of options out there that make it very exciting. We'll see next year with Pocono's doubleheader. I think that's going to be an exciting change of pace. I just think NASCAR is making a serious effort to do some different stuff. And speaking more selfishly, I'd like to see a shorter schedule, at least calendar-wise. You know, run 36 races, but let's do 3 or 4 doubleheaders throughout the year. Throw a race in on a Wednesday. I think you can keep more interest with NASCAR fans if you start the season in March and do wrap it up closer to when football starts in the fall.
You know, it's you almost took the whole words out of mine and Jeff Striegel's mouth from last week, talking about, you know, the Pocono test being a way to see, you know, can we condense the months without condensing the races at some tracks that maybe have lacked a little bit in attendance, you know, like Pocono, yeah, like MIS, you know, would a double and 5 races in 1 weekend for the same price help bring out more people? I'm excited 100% about that. And like you said, you know, NASCAR's taking some swings. Things didn't get this way overnight, and we're not going to go back to a 5 share on TV ratings and 100,000 people in the stands overnight either. So I think the schedule change is a good first start. You couldn't have said it any better. It's been stale. You know, let's switch it up. You know, I think that alone is going to help things tremendously.
Yeah. And we'll see where it goes, you know, with NASCAR buying, ISC, and where does SMI fit into that? And they get a lot more flexibility with the schedule and the track controlling. And I think it could potentially kind of lead to a little bit of a rebirth for NASCAR. I don't think NASCAR is ever going to go back to what it was in the mid 90s, late 90s. It's a different time now. You know, people don't go to other sports or complain. You know, baseball attendance is down. NFL is struggling.
Absolutely.
You're not going to go back to Bill and Bristol all the time, you know, with a waiting list and stuff. It's just probably not likely to happen.
No, not at all. But you know, it can get revived a little bit, and I definitely think that it's going to within the next, you know, if we're thinking short term, you know, 3 to 5 years, I think we will see a noticeable increase from what we've seen in the, you know, mid to early 2020 to 2019, so to speak.
Yep, I agree.
Scott, man, this was a lot of fun. Tell everybody where they can follow you and Jayski at on social media.
Yeah, well, we are basically interchangeable. I'm usually tweeting from the Jayski Twitter account. Again, 90% of the time, that's me. I try to, you know, if it's a question I'm answering personally, I try to notate that it's me there. It's also can be Jay or Amanda tweeting from it. Obviously, we're at jayski.com. My personal Twitter, which I was forced to use for a couple months until we came back, is SL Page. But I don't use that much anymore because I don't have time to focus on it. But like we do most of the time, you know, if you tweet me, I'm going to try to answer your question, except for the people who are idiots. They usually just get muted and I move on with my life because life's too short. But,
yes.
drop us an email with a request or something on a site. You know, know we try to be real responsive to that too, because we want to do what the fans want.
Awesome. I will tell you, I did stumble upon the Skotsky page for a few months there. It was found that very resourceful while I was waiting for Jayski to come back.
Yeah, that was kind of the, we actually started building the news site behind the scenes before we could say anything. Sure. There. But you know, I figured if I'm posting PDFs and stuff, they might as well go ahead and be uploaded to a server so we can take care of them quickly.
Absolutely.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And yeah, and of course I'd had to be Skotsky, so that's the way we hoard it.
That's awesome. I love it. Scott, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight. On behalf of all NASCAR fans, thank you guys for coming back. You're welcome back on the show anytime, and hope to do this again soon.
Sounds good. I'm happy to be back anytime you need me.
Awesome. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Scott from Jayski.com for coming on tonight. Scott, have a great week, and we will talk with you soon.
You too.
Thanks. Well, that was awesome. How much fun was that? That was so cool. Really enjoyed talking with Scott from Jayski there. There's been drivers, sponsors, race sponsors, tracks and track presidents, and now Jayski. It's been on the Lap Traffic Podcast. Such an honor. So much fun. Can't wait to talk to him again in the very near future. All right. I think it's time to talk a little racing from Iowa. Well, settle in, Lap Traffic Nation, because I got lots to talk about from the truck race because, nothing happened or anything like that. So, all right. Let's dive into the truck race at Iowa. Well, it was originally a race sweep by one Mr. Ross Chastain, who we thought picked up both stages and the race win, but I will get to that in a few minutes. But after it's all said and done, Matt Crafton ends up with the stage one win, Ben Rhodes with the stage two win, and Brett Moffitt with the race win, and Ross Chastain ends up 32nd. All right. How'd this thing start out, shake out here? All right, so 16-year-old Chandler Smith on the pole in the 51 for KBM. This thing got three wide early into turn one of a lap one. The high side definitely able to carry some momentum, which ended up being the case all weekend long through both the truck and the Xfinity race. If you were on a restart, you wanted to be on the outside, especially if you were on the front row. Smith was able to jump out to a 3-second lead and space things out a little early in the truck race. Tyler Ankrum had to bring it home early, brought it to the garage with some brake issues early on. Yellow came out with 8 to go in stage one as the 10 of Gonzalez had his second tire go down, which set up for an incredible stage one shootout there at the end. And how about Chandler Smith? No radio communication during the pit stop. Dude hops in the passenger side during the pit stop, fixes it while Smith almost pulled away with the crew guy trying to get out. That was incredible that they were able to do that so quickly. Obviously not something that happens every day, but it's obviously stuff they probably practice, but not probably often. So that was cool to see that. And it was amazing that they were able to do all that and stay on the lead lap. Crafton, though, inherited the lead due to that issue with the 51, who forfeited the lead due to an extended pit stop there. On the restart, Enfinger dive bombs the inside, and Sauter takes it three wide on the outside to try to get position over Crafton. Crafton and Sauter were side by side. Ross Chastain takes the lead about 50 feet from the line. What a finish to the stage one there. That was incredible. Crafton and Chastain on the front row to start stage two. Smith restarted 13th, but was able to get back up to 7th with about 47 to go in stage two. Chastain ends up picking up the stage two win, so we thought, but with a lot less dramatic fashion than the end of stage one. And again, I got to go back to the 51, just able to charge through the field. Tough break. He gained three spots on pit road at the end of stage two, but was caught speeding on pit road. That'll get you every time. Chastain and Moffitt on the front row for the start of stage three. And again, three wide with Ross, Rhodes, Moffitt. 63 to go. This is where it got interesting, folks. Yellow out as the 13 of Sauter gets into the wall, as the 16 gets to his bumper, and then we all saw what happened there. Sauter waited for the 16 to come back around, and put him in the wall under caution. And I got a little bit more on that here in a minute. Moffitt was not letting Chastain pull away in the ending part of the race there, definitely forcing Chastain to use his tires with hoping to be able to pass later on. That was not the case. Chastain was able to slowly build to almost a second lead over Moffitt with about 20 to go. And Chastain crossed the finish line first in what I thought was going to be a major shakeup to the playoffs. And I say that because for obvious reasons, Ross was eventually going to get into the top 20, and with the win, would definitely be knocking somebody out of the top eight in the truck. But as we all know, failed post-inspection. And if that scenario is going to play out, he is going to have to pick up one more win because here's the crazy thing. This is mind-boggling to me. There are only six truck races left in the regular season. Cannot believe that there's only six left before the playoffs start. That said, Ross has got six to do it. And I'll tell you what, I think he's going to do it. I definitely think Ross Chastain is going to go out there, get another win. It's too good of a story for it not to happen. The adversity last year with the Xfinity Series and the ride and then losing the ride and then racing all three series. I mean, it is the Cinderella story of 2019 in the Truck Series. It has to happen. It's going to happen. And speaking of Ross Chastain, as I mentioned at the top of the show, PETM 200 tonight with Ross Chastain. You are not going to want to miss that, so make sure you go check that out. A couple notables from the race. Rookie Harrison Burton picked up a top three finish there. Rookie Sheldon Creed in sixth. Chandler Smith rebounded, finished eighth from all that. The radio change, speeding penalty, still finished top 10. That is just awesome there. Hell of a job by him. Over to the standings in the Truck Series. Grant Enfinger is in first. Matt Kraft in second. Stuart Freeze in third. Brett Moffitt fourth. Ben Rhodes fifth. Harrison Burton sixth. Austin Hill seventh. And Mr. Johnny Sauter in eighth. Next race for the Truck Series this Sunday at the Worldwide Technology Raceway. Looking forward to that for sure. But before I move on to the Xfinity Series race, I've got two mini rants, if you were. The first is about Chastain. You know, you hate like hell to see this happen. Car didn't pass tech. That is what it is. You hate to see things like this happen. You know, just as I said, you know, you look at the adversity that he's had to overcome, and sometimes it just slaps you back in the face, and that happens just in life in general. And out of compassion to human beings, you hate to see that. As far as the penalty is concerned, you know, it happened. It's in the rules. We can debate all day long if that rule should or should not be applied based on needing a height requirement. You know, is that or is that not needed? I will say I am surprised that the first time the new rule of taking the win, points, trophy, all that away and awarding it to the car that does pass, I was surprised that it happened first in the Truck Series. I would have bet money that would have happened in the Cup Series first. But that was just my take. And it's funny, I didn't even, you know, I remember hearing about that at the start of the season. We hadn't had to have it apply yet, and I was talking with Mick to talk about the fantasy and how we were going to do that, and I had completely forgot all of those different changes that took place there. So, like I said, it's a crazy situation for sure. All right, the second little mini rant I want to hit on is the Johnny Sauter situation. And what I want to focus on in something that I'm not even sure if I have an issue with what I think is going to happen with NASCAR in this situation. I do have a small issue that both drivers kind of retaliated on the track with the bump to Sauter and then Sauter into the wall, you know, and then Sauter waiting for the 16, Austin Hill to swing back around, apparent dump, and then there was the takeout of the car under caution. Both have their consequences that could have happened. The dump on Sauter could have caused a wreck, resulting in a bad day for anyone else that may have gotten involved. The takeout by Sauter to Hill could have caused the same thing to happen. You know, and as I said with Scott earlier, you know, you want to throw punches. That's between two people. Do that on pit road. You know, and have at it. You're not wrecking cars. You're not risking impacting someone else's day that wasn't involved. You know, as we saw today, penalties have happened. You know, Sauter suspended for one race with no playoff implications. And, you know, I think that's, you know, something like that hasn't happened in a minute, at least not this year anyway. So it's just NASCAR's way of saying, hey, listen, we know you're in the playoffs. We know you want to go out there and race and get the win each and every weekend. We're not going to impact your playoff chances, but you don't get to go race next weekend. And I know that there's still talk at the record of this show as to who may fill in. We'll see what will happen there. The other issue that I said, you know, like I said, I think I have, and I'm not even sure if I have an issue with it. I initially did, and the more I think about it, I'm not sure if it's hypocritical or not. You know, NASCAR gave the penalty to Sauter, you know, suspended for a race, fine. Now, the question is NASCAR going to use a video highlight in that in its playoff package and future race promos to promote the sport or to highlight the excitement of the sport? And my answer to that is yes, they obviously are, based on past experiences, you know, a la Matt Kenseth, Joey Logano. You know, the sport and you know, sports feed off drama. We love it as fans. So is it hypocritical of NASCAR to use that to their advantage while penalizing someone? And my initial thought was, you know, yes, that's hypocritical, and no, they shouldn't do that. But now that I've had a few days to mull it over, right now I think I'm split on that. You know, I think it's good, bad, right, and wrong, and indifferent. You obviously have to sell the sport, and you have to reprimand at times. So is it wrong to exploit? I don't know. Maybe not anymore. You know, that's where I'm at. It's a long rant. I know that. But, you know, that's where my mind is at right now in terms of is it right or wrong, that we all know we're going to see that in a promo clip at some point in time. All right. That's enough about that. Let's talk a little Xfinity. Well, it was the Christopher Bell show for sure. Bell picking up both stage wins and the race win. Custer and Bell on the front row. Seems to be those two up front a lot. And just like the trucks, things got crazy early. Three wide, lap one. Custer able to jump out to a half-second lead while Bell and Gregson battled for second. First yellow out with 30 to go. Restarted with 22 to go with Custer and Bell on the front row battling again. Second caution came out with 12 to go in stage one as Joey Gase got under the wall, setting up for a shootout for stage one. Very eerie and similar first two stages in the Xfinity and the Trek series. Both saw shootouts in stage one, and both kind of had a lackluster second stage where they were able to cruise on to the win. Let's see here. Issues for Reddick on the restart there as Bell and Custer were on fresh tires, able to fight back for the lead. Bell takes the lead with two to go, and Reddick unfortunately had to bring it down to pit road. Like I said, Bell gets the stage one win. Bell and Custer for the restart, stage two. Allgaier was able to make a little noise, got up to second there a little bit. Gregson had to bring it down pit road with 46 to go for a loose wheel. And Brandon Brown dragged out of the car. What looked like a very scary situation there. Glad to see he was able to get out all right and not have any serious damage done to him with breathing in all those fumes and all that. Bell out to a three-second lead over Custer with 30 to go. And just, I mean, just dominated the race. There's not much more to be said about that. Let's see. Jeremy Clements, 12th place finish for him. Nice job for those guys. Greg Golding, 14th. And Reddick with a rare race finish outside the top 10 with a 15th place. And good old Ryan Ellis, hell of a job there, finishing 23rd in a rare Xfinity appearance there this past weekend. Over to the standings in the Xfinity series, it is Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Justin Allgaier, Austin Cindric, Chase Briscoe, John Hunter Nemechek, Noah Gregson, Michael Annette, Justin Haley, Ryan Sieg, and Brandon Jones wrap out the top 12. The Xfinity series is off this week and we'll be back Saturday, June 29th from Chicagoland. So, since there's no Cup race to talk about, since they were on their off week this week, they will be back this Sunday for the first road course of the season at Sonoma, which I know we are all excited about. But that said, I will fill the Cup time with David from Superior Essex Racing. You might recall that he was on along with Landon Castle and Chief Pittman from the Napoleon Township Police Department on the MIS bonus show, talking about the fundraiser for the police department to try to get some body cameras and police cams through GoFundMe. And they had the township police on the back of the car. Just a very good feel-good story. And he wanted to call in just to let everybody know how that fundraiser ended up there. So here is David from Superior Essex Racing. Lap Traffic Nation joining me back on the line. I'm really excited about this to kind of recap the interview at MIS a couple weeks ago. He is the owner of Essex Racing, Mr. David Ducharme. And I think I got it right that time.
You did. You did. And yeah, Superior Essex Racing and David Ducharme. That's we got you. You got those now.
Excellent. Excellent. How's it going, man? How are you?
It's going fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Excellent. You're going to a Yankees game tonight, correct?
Weather permitting.
Weather permitted, right?
As I'm looking at the downpour right now and buckets of water, that remains to be seen. But yes, that is the plan.
Fair enough. Well, I know they're doing a lot better than the Detroit Tigers right now, who are abysmal. I think they've lost, what, like 17 of their last 20 home games or something like that. It's tough to be a Tigers fan, and it's always tough to be a Lions fan. So,
well, full disclosure, while I am going to a Yankees game, I was born and raised about 35 minutes south of Boston. So, to all the listeners that think I'm a Yankee fan, we need to nip that in the bud
right
now.
Excellent. So, we are a Patriots fan for sure, then, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I'm a diehard Patriots and Tom Brady fan. And
well, that's right. Go blue, right?
Hell yeah, go blue. You got it. All right, man. So just to recap, first of all, Lab Traffic Nation, if you have not checked out the bonus show from MIS, you're definitely a few laps down. So go check that out. But just to reiterate, on that show was David, along with Chief Pittman from the Napoleon Township Police Department, just outside of MIS in Brooklyn, Michigan, as well as Landon Castle, all talking about an awesome cause to help the Napoleon Township Department. David, why don't you just recap that real quick? What all brought that together?
Sure. So I had the distinct pleasure of meeting Chief Pittman at the Daytona 500, who came down with one of my good friends, which is also his cousin. And through some just casual conversations, the chief was talking about how basically he's clawing and scratching to get, you know, a few hundred bucks to outfit his, a couple of his officers in bulletproof vests. And I just found that just appalling.
Sure, absolutely.
I couldn't quite grasp that. And, and then the long and the short of it is he has a shoestring budget, all in to cars and bullets and officers and everything that's involved. And, we're just sitting there having a dinner that could have taken care of, some of that equipment. So, I said, we got to do something. And that's when I leaned over to Matt Kohler, owner of Starcom Racing. And I said, Matt, we got to do something. He's like, well, what do you have in mind? And I said, well, I'm primary in Michigan. They're just outside of Michigan. Let's put them on the car. And literally it was born there.
That's awesome.
The GoFundMe and our goal was to raise them the $15,000 to purchase in-car cameras and body cameras so they could, get the equipment they need. And I'm very happy to say through our fundraising efforts on the GoFundMe, Landon Castle went to a local sports bar and grill called Aggie's right outside the track. Did some signing. I raffled off some diecast, and that and the very generous donation by Mike, Matt, and Billy, the owners of Starcom. I'm happy to say Napoleon PD has their 15,000 plus and still growing. So
That's incredible. I love this story because it's just the NASCAR community coming together to help, you know, local service men and women, which is awesome. It was great to meet the chief and talk to him. Just a humbled, awesome individual right there. And that's awesome. I'm so glad. I followed up with you afterwards. And when I heard that, I definitely wanted to get you back on here to share the word and just to let people know how awesome your organization is and StarCom to help with a local police department. That's just fantastic, man.
No, we appreciate it. We get to do a lot of fun things, and I tell everybody I got probably one of the greatest jobs in the world, but this one just really felt good to do something for such a deserving group of men and women, and the chief's got I hope a friend forever, and he's assured me that, and he's also assured me I'll never get a speeding ticket in Napoleon, Michigan. So.
Well, you know, it's funny, you know, he gave me a patch and that awesome collector's coin. Like, I'm like, I'm just gonna have that in the base of the truck, and boom, flash that.
That's right. It was fantastic, and you know, I certainly appreciate you allowing us to tell our story to your listeners, and.
Keep listening, man. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and like I said, keep listening, because this felt good, and I don't think that you're going to see Superior Essex and StarCom being a one and done. As well as Landon, we all enjoyed this, and I think we're going to be doing some other stuff.
I like that. Stuff is a good word. I like that. You guys are welcome back here anytime. You're going to be in Chicago, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, I will be out there as well. So I'll get a hold of you when I get out there. We can catch up and say hi again. And, man, thanks for taking some time to call in and update everybody on that. I appreciate it. Tell everyone where they can follow you guys at on social media.
Sure. If you want to check out SPSX Racing, that's our handle across all of them, the Instagram, the Facebook, and the Twitter. And then anybody out there, shameless plug, that's in need of fiber and copper cable, you could check us out at SuperiorEssex.com.
Awesome. Love it, man. Thanks, David. Appreciate it. Hopefully the weather clears up, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, I tell you, that's just awesome when feel-good stories have a happy ending. So glad that they were able to reach their goal and surpass their goal. It's awesome when drivers such as Landon Castle take a personal take on, you know, their sponsor and go above and beyond the call of duty from what a driver's required there. And even a team sponsor such as David, man, it's just awesome. And wanted to get that out there to help spread word for sure. All right. I think it's time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Listen to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Subscribe and leave a review if you don't mind. Giveaway. All right. Gave the diecast away last week, which was awesome. There is the 5,000 follower giveaway, which I know is a ways away. So I am not going to flood your timelines with that constantly. Every once in a while, I will throw that out there for the 5,000 follower giveaway. The rear quarter panel off Eric Almirola's car when he drove for RPM. I will definitely, though, have some smaller ones along the way. Over to some new follower shout-outs on Twitter. Brad Gronsky at BradCar4, big Kevin Harvick fan. Kyle at KyleBear24, loves NASCAR with a passion. Justin Hanna at Justin1Hanna, loves NASCAR. And big shout-out to Jayski at Jayski for the follow and for coming on the show tonight. Very cool. New merch is on the way. if you forgot, there's some new graphics coming out for some t-shirts, which I'm very excited about. Samples were ordered. The images have been scanned, all that good stuff. So hopefully I will have the samples in to make sure everything came out all nice and perfect. And I will have new shirts available on the website, hopefully within the next week or so. Stickers and koozies, definitely still have those if you want one. Go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, fill out the contact page, and I will send one to you for free. And I've also updated the fan page on the website with a bunch of new koozie pictures that I have gotten from you guys, which is awesome. Don't forget to check out the Support Autism link on the website. See what Freddie the Pizza Man is doing with his 501c3 charity for autism here in Metro Detroit, putting sensory rooms in schools in Metro Detroit. Freddie's charity is the official charity of the Lap Traffic Podcast. If you donate, make sure you put Lap Traffic in the message, and a portion of that will go to Freddie's sponsorship of Yunker Motorsports. Very cool Midwest tie from Lap Traffic all the way down to Ohio with Yunker Motorsports. And of course, go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. Got another awesome promo for one of the awesome podcasts that you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network. Here is the promo for Boar Meets World.
I'm Kyle.
This is Steven.
Together we host a show called
Boar Meets World.
Tell them what we cover on Boar Meets World.
Boy Meets World.
But that's not all, is it?
No.
No, we cover life experiences. Ours. Oh, son of a b***h. All right, just check out the show, please. We really need it. Okay? We need a win. Just check us out. We talk about the show Boy Meets World. Each episode of our show, we run parallel with an episode of Boy Meets World where we will examine the show.
That's way too much.
What happens, you know, our life, how it relates to it, experiences.
I can't believe you're still recording.
I am recording this. Check it out, guys. You'll get some hilarious stories from me and Steven from our childhood. You'll get a great... I lost it.
Oh, talk about an ad-libbed ad right there. That's awesome. Go check out Boar Meets World. Well, that's one of the cool things that Big Heads Media has. They've got a bunch of sports podcasts, but they also have a bunch of entertainment podcasts like Boar Meets World that are podcasts episode by episode with TV shows. I know there's one for How I Met Your Mother and Friends and all that kind of good stuff. So just some awesome entertainment podcasts out there by Big Heads Media and Boar Meets World. So make sure you go check that out. All right. Business is done. Let's get things rolling back up here with a little weather from Mr. Brian Newdorf.
Hey, Lap Traffic Nation, it is meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as the NASCAR weatherman or at NASCAR underscore WXMAN on Twitter. And they brought me back for another week, so I'm just grateful for that. I will be honest, I'm in the process of trying to sell my house and make a move. I'm going to be leaving Idaho, but I can't tell you where or what I will be doing just yet. The announcement cannot be made, but hopefully soon I will have that announcement to hear and maybe even on Twitter when the time comes. But in the meantime, because of that, trying to spend all weekend cleaning a house, getting it ready to be shown by the realtor and pictures up on the website, was not able to watch any of the racing. I did realize and followed on Saturday when the rain was coming through, but even then my updates were few and far between. So for those of you who rely on me, I want to apologize for that. That just was too busy with life to get in the way. They got in the way. And then on Sunday, just did not have time to watch anything. So I missed out on all the racing. But obviously, the big brouhaha, if you will, is a possible suspension of retaliation. Johnny Saunter there. And then I also was reading and saw on Twitter the disqualification of the winner. So it will be interesting to see how this all plays out in the coming days. But we're going to turn our attention because the Cup Series was off. After the rainout at Michigan, we are now making our way back and getting ourselves back on schedule, and we're out west, and it's the first road course of the season. We are out at Sonoma Raceway, and I'm going to be honest. In the last couple of years, some of the best racing, in my opinion, has been at the road courses. It's just, I think the racing, the final laps, all of that stuff, so much strategy has played out really well. That's just my take. Love to hear what you guys think. Feel free to let me know on Twitter. That's just my opinion. It doesn't mean I'm right. Definitely doesn't mean I'm right. It just means that's my opinion. But weather-wise, it should be great. After rain was a threat at Pocono, but never happened. Rain was a threat at Michigan. It did happen. This time, sun is a threat. And that is it. I know a lot of you, since the NASCAR made the announcement that the Cup Series would race on rain tires, if there was rain during a weekend, I don't think we've necessarily seen that yet. And I don't think we're going to see it now. Sonoma's pretty much living up to its reputation of being very dry, and that is what we're going to see there. Lots of sunshine for the race weekend at Sonoma Raceway, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Temperatures in the low 80s, plenty of sunshine. There could be breezes at time and fog, but I really don't see that this time. I'll let you know once we get closer. Some of those fine tunings as well as wind will have more on Patreon as well as on Twitter. But overall, it's a great looking weekend, Saturday and Sunday for racing. Lots of sunshine, temperatures there in the 80s. That does it for me. I hope you guys have a great week. Check me out on Facebook, on Twitter, NASCAR_WXMAN, and of course our Patreon account where I'll have that first look as well. You can find that each and every week. Thank you guys for checking us out, and I'll give it back to you, Brandon.
Oh, Mr. Brian Newdorf, man, you do an awesome job with that record there. It's not easy to necessarily just do that, and you do a hell of a job. So thank you very much. And hey, life happens. Don't feel too bad about that. And can't wait to hear about the news and the move and all that good stuff. And I have to echo your sentiments there. Road course racing has really upped its game over the last few years, and I'm very excited about that. And it's awesome. It sounds like we will go racing at our scheduled time this weekend, which is awesome. All right. Moving this thing along. I told you it wasn't going to be a two-hour show this week. Doing good here time-wise. It is time for some Lucky Dog and Laugh Down picks. All right. You guys know what that sound means. It's time for this week's Lucky Dog and Laugh Down picks. You know the drill. After the race, tweet your Lucky Dog and Laugh Down picks. I'll read them, tag you guys after the show, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538, and you can leave your picks there. All right, my lucky dog of the race weekend are us, the race fans. We got to see some awesome racing, I think, from the lower series this past weekend, which was awesome. My lap down, Mother Nature. Had a couple buddies over. I've sold them on the truck series. They've watched bits and pieces here and there. I'm like, guys, it's a Saturday night truck race. Come on over. Let's watch some short track truck racing Saturday night. And it didn't happen. So we just had to have drinks without a race on. So, but hey, that'll happen. Over to your tweeted responses. Eddie at EG3_FastEddies, a lucky dog. Zane Smith ran inside the top six all afternoon and picked up a top five. Strong run there. Lap down, Nice Motorsports 44 truck. Unfortunate situation for them, knowing how great of a truck Ross had at Iowa. Mick at GoDucks42_Mix, lucky dog. Dairy Queen with all the DQ talk. I see what you did there, sir. I love it. If you're not following Mick, you got to go follow Mick because two things. One, Mick helps out a great deal with the Lap Traffic Fantasy, and he's actually going to be making his picks here in just a couple minutes. And Mick's gift game is on point, like perfectly on point. So two reasons to go follow Mick there. Mick's lap down. All those that thought when NASCAR would take a win away, it would be from a driver they didn't like. Good one there, too. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR fans. Lucky dog Bell had a dominating car, got his mojo back. Yes, he did. A lap down Ross Chastain, man, every time this man has something good happen, 100 other things go wrong. Rules are rules. The truck was illegal. Can't blame NASCAR. You summed that up pretty good there. Can't disagree. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog, Brett Moffitt and Tyler Reddick. Brett is the year-long lucky dog for the season. Lap down Ross Chastain for obvious reasons and Noah Gregson, good run with no results. John at Dean Ader's lucky dog, doubleheader all day Sunday racing. Can't wait for a doubleheader that isn't Pocono. I see you there, John. Lap down is Moffitt. Shame he didn't lead a lap with that win on Sunday. I expect a winner to lead more laps. Hey, at least one. I love it. You guys were on point with these today. I like it. All right, let's get to the calls on the Wave Around hotline.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. I didn't get to see the truck race this weekend. I was in Milwaukee Saturday night and Sunday for the ARCA Midwest race at the Milwaukee Mile. It was on Sunday. And I recorded the truck race before I left, but of course it got delayed. And then I did record the Xfinity race, and I did watch that on Monday. I thought that was a decent race. I really hope Bell wins the championship this year. It would be so exciting because I think he's got the best shot of anybody to be the first to win a championship in all three series. That would just be so awesome. My opinion on the Sauter situation is, yes, he should be penalized, but I don't think he should be suspended. You know, NASCAR and all the tracks that the trucks race at are loving this, and you know we're going to see footage used to promote future races, and I wouldn't be surprised to see if it was already being used this weekend for Gateway, since it's a track that we usually see dust-ups. So that's my opinion on that. My lap down has to go to Chastain. It would suck for anybody to have to win or to have a win taken away, but this really hurts with him switching to run for the truck championship, you know, in the middle of the season like he did. It was a little bit refreshing that we did get to find all that out on Sunday after the race as opposed to waiting 3 days. So I did like that, but not the fact that he got the win taken away. And my lucky dog has to go to Moffitt because I guess second place is the first loser didn't apply this time. So good for him. He was in the right place at the right time. I'll be at Gateway this weekend for the ARCA and truck races, and I'm thinking it's going to be a good one. So I'm really looking forward to it. That's all I got for now. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you for calling in each and every week. I love it. And look at you, traveling for the ARCA series. That's awesome. I think that's fantastic. You know, it's so funny. You and I see eye to eye on a lot of things in terms of, you know, what NASCAR may or may not do from a promo perspective with this. I love it. And that was pretty funny about second place being the first loser there. That's funny. I love that. And I look forward to seeing you at Chicago because I know you'll be there and definitely look forward to seeing you at the Tweet Up for sure. All right. Got one more call on the waiver on. Oh, wait, before I get to that, there's one other thing I want to comment on that Kathleen said. She was right as far as it was kind of nice to know the day of the race, what was going to happen. That was kind of cool. And that was it. No further, you know, hey, it didn't pass and we're going to take it back to the R&D. No, we knew right then and there. Granted, none of us really liked the outcome of that there. But that's an excellent point right there. So, all right. I got one more for you guys. Here we go.
Hey, Brandon, John Warrington at Racing_64. I may have been the only person that was happy to see that truck race get rained out on Saturday night because I was not able to go Saturday night. We had our hometown celebration here. So I was kind of praying for a doubleheader on Sunday all week. So I got down there and got to see two races. The good and the bad. The truck race was an okay race, and it was cool to see Chastain win, but I liked the disqualification just because NASCAR finally is not putting up with anything anymore, and I think that's good. I kind of want to see more. It sucks that it was Ross because nobody cheers against Ross, but on the bright side, I was able to see be there for my driver winning a race again, Brett Moffitt, so that was good. The Xfinity race, Bell had him covered. I don't think anybody could have done anything with him. And like I said last year, Lucky Dog, I'll say, is me for getting able to see two races when I was only supposed to be able to see one. The lockdown, while I still don't like the such a late start for this Xfinity race, I'm going to give my lap down to him, giving him four sets of tires for that race because with that extra set of tires that they gave him, it took away any chance for any strategy to come through in that last stage. So, and I mean, that's the only way Bell would have not won, is if Sunil, they would have to worry about that last set of tires or not. So that's my lap down, and we'll head to Sonoma. See ya.
Oh, John, man, thanks for calling in. I love it when people call in after they go to the race. And that's, hey, you know, it's awesome it worked out for you to be able to see both races. Striegel talked about it last week, how he ran into people from Pennsylvania that came up because they were able to make it on Monday, not Sunday. So, hey, sometimes it works out for some people when Mother Nature takes over there. You mentioned the disqualification there kind of being good. We all knew it was going to happen eventually. Like I said a little bit earlier, I was surprised to see it happen first in the truck series. And like you said, Bell had him covered. He definitely had the field covered, that's for sure there. Thanks for calling in. And that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down segment. All right, it's time for a little fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So here's what went down on Sunday. Mick reaches out. He's like, hey, how do we want to handle this? So because in normal situations or years past, points would come out as the race finished. And we wouldn't know until, Wednesday what the penalties were. And at that point, you're not going to go take points away after publishing, and all that kind of stuff. But different situation now, right? So, and I did not address this in the rules this year because didn't think about it when I was putting the rules together. So I took it to a league vote with three options as far as how to handle the situation. We could do it as NASCAR was going to do it, apply the penalty to Ross, give the win to Brett, and do the points that way. Do it like we would have in the past, which was give the win to Ross and not Brett, or give the win to both and go from there. And a lot of you voted, which was awesome that you guys all partook in that for the most part. And everyone said, nope, let's give it to Brett and not Ross. And I think maybe some of that had to do with a lot of you picking Brett, but that is what it is. And I agree with that call as well, and that's how we'll handle it the rest of the season there. That said, there are still 12 races to go. There is still a lot of time to make up some ground. Not me, because I can't do that, apparently. But if you haven't picked back up or you forgot a week, don't worry about it. 12 weekends to go here is a lot of time, and it's still early in segment two. That said, with the switch from Ross to Moffitt, that definitely impacted the Lap Traffic Fantasy League because there were only a handful of people that picked Ross. And like I said, 13 players picked Moffitt and 13 picked Bell as well. Five players swept the weekend with Moffitt and Bell with a score of 114 points. That's Mr. Aaron Studwell there, Mr. B. Wayne, my uncle Matt Crow, Ted Anderson, and Tommy Witt. And Chad Robb and Evan Van Beelen had 110 points with their picks of Bell and Enfinger. My picks of Enfinger and Riddick got me 72. I just cannot put a complete weekend together. It's just not possible. That said, over to the top 10. In first with 355 points is Evan Van Beelen. In second with 331 is Brett Morris, who is itching to get to that number one spot to call into the show. In third is Tommy Witt with 320. We got a two-way tie in fourth with Crystal Smoke and Mr. Salt. Two-way tie for fifth with 306 with David James and Jess Rose. In sixth with 305 is Mr. Mullins. Seventh with 302, Mr. Anderson. In eighth with 299, Paul Hollenbeck. In ninth with 298 is Eric McCollum. And wrapping out the top 10 with 297 is John King. Over to the top five cumulative is Greg Whited in first with 1,644. In second with 1,586, Robert Keplinger. In third with 1,579, Ted Anderson. Jess Rose in fourth with 1,575. And my uncle wraps out the top five cumulative with 1,568. Where is the MOATF podcast? There is no mention of them in the top 10, in the cumulative standings. They've fallen out. Man, those, if only they were back on the air to debate and to throw shade my way. Boys, we miss you. come back soon. All right. Mr. Evan Van Beelen, who is in first, did not get back to the email there. So I'm going to dial up Mr. Mick Rose here and get him on the line for the picks this week. Lap Traffic Nation, please, a welcome back to the show, Mr. Mick Rose. Sir, what's going on?
Another exciting day.
All right. Yes, another awesome Tuesday.
That is it.
How was your Father's Day?
Excellent. Excellent.
Excellent. Did you get to take in the racing?
What's that?
Did you get to take in the racing?
Oh, yes. Got to see all of it.
Fantastic. That's a good Father's Day when you get to do a doubleheader on the couch, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Both of them were entertaining.
I enjoyed them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your take on the whole Johnny Sauter one race suspension ordeal?
I'm fine with it. I mean, I understand as the entertainment side, it's good that they, you know, you have that.
Yep.
But
yep.
On the NASCAR leadership idea or side, I mean, I guess you can't have people wrecking people when the track safety crews are out there. So
yes,
you know, you got to look out for everybody.
Yeah, no, they said a little bit ago on the show, you know, they gave him a slap on the wrist without impacting his season, which is probably as, you know, good as it could be.
Yep.
All righty, sir. You ready to make some picks?
I'm ready.
All right. Lap Traffic Nation, we are headed to our first road course and back out west to Sonoma. The last 3 years, three different manufacturer wins. Toyota and Martin Truex Jr. last year, Ford and Kevin Harvick in 2017, and in 2016, Chevy with good old Smoke. There have been a few repeat winners at Sonoma. The last person, though, to win back-to-back actually picked up three in a row, and you have to go all the way back to the 1998-2000 season with Jeff Gordon. Clint Bowyer, Kevin Harvick each have wins and back-to-back top fives at Sonoma. And I know this is a track a lot of people think someone from SHR is going to get it done. Does the off week help teams and drivers desperate for a win like Harvick, Larson, Bowman, and Johnson? Or does the off week maybe slow the momentum of the Brad and Kyle show we've seen? We will find out this weekend when we go left and right. But right now, it is time for our picks. Mick, over to you for the truck series, sir.
I am going Stuart Friesen.
Stuart Friesen. I like that pick. I had him down earlier this afternoon while I was wrapping up the show here, but I have switched, and I'm going to go with Ben Rhodes this weekend.
Good pick. Good pick.
Here's hoping. no Xfinity race this weekend. Over to the Cup Series, sir. Who do you got for Cup?
Well, the road courses are hard, so I'm going Kurt Busch. I don't think he will win, but I think he will get the most points.
Ah, you see, there's that lap traffic strategy there. You don't play for the win necessarily. You play for the second places in both stages and a top five, and you max your day out there. Yes, I like your strategy there, sir. I am going with a Stuart Haas driver, but not who you might think. I am going with Mr. Clint Bowyer to get it done this weekend. And Clint shocks NASCAR and picks up the first win for SHR this year ahead of Kevin Harvick.
Nice.
Yes, that's who I'm going with. All righty, Mr. Mick Rose, thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for your dedication to the Lap Traffic Fantasy League as well. You got a nice little shout-out earlier in the show that you will hear. And who knows? Maybe we'll talk with you next week.
All right. Well, I'm way in the cellar. I need some help.
You and me both. And the MOATF podcast. All right, man. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Take it easy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 133 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, review the show on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Go check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity League. Big thanks to Scott from J-Ski, Brian Newdorf, and Mick Rose for calling into the show tonight. next week. I actually have to work on a guest for next week. The last 2 months have been booked. I got to get to work. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!